the adrenaline section, there's this knee-knocking hour here, and I won't delay anymore to present the award for the best actor, the very brilliant Academy Award-winning actress of last year, Miss Anne Bancroft.
The nominees for the best performance by an actor are Albert Finney in Tom Jones, Richard Harris in This Sporting Life, Rex Harrison in Cleopatra, Paul Newman in Her, Sidney Poitier in Lilies of the Field. The winner is Sidney Poitier in Lilies.
Because it is a long journey to this moment, I am naturally indebted to countless numbers of people, principally among whom are Ralph Nelson, James Poe, William Barrett, Martin Baum, and of course, the members of the Academy. For all of them, all I can say is a very special thank you.
I'm Mike Sargent, and this is Real World. And as you have no doubt heard, Sidney Poitier has passed. And I'm going to devote this week's episode as a tribute to Sidney Poitier. And I'll say this, Sidney Poitier was born February 20th, 1927. And unfortunately, he passed yesterday, January 6, 2022. He was born in the Bahamas and moved to Miami at the age of 15, and then to New York City when he was 16 and joined the American Negro Theater. The breakout film was Blackboard Jungle in 1955, and then in 1958, this is when he really was put on the map. He was in a film with Tony Curtis called The Defiant Ones, which received 9 Academy Award nominations. Both he and Tony Curtis were nominated for Best Actor. And at the time, he was the first, or, well, later on we'll get into exactly what that means. And to talk about Sidney Poitier and his impact on film, black culture, and just the world of entertainment, I brought a special guest, Bobby Rivers, who is an entertainment contributor and currently a writer for the Turner Movie Classics channel. Bobby Rivers, welcome to Real World and WBAI.
Mike, glad to be with you. How are you doing?
Other than the fact that we're here to talk about something slightly somber and also slightly joyful at the same time, I'm doing good.
The news, I got up early, I logged on, and I saw the news, and I went, oh, please let this not be true. And then I admit it. I sat here and I quietly cried because Sidney Poitier was so, and will be, so significant to me.
Tell me your first discovery of Sidney Poitier and maybe what he meant to you and to your household and to just, you know, you're a little older than me, so you maybe felt the impact of his career on Hollywood and for black folks in America.
Okay, I grew up in South Central Los Angeles. Considering the fact that I'm such a movie geek, I had great parents because my parents loved going to the movies, whether they were Hollywood films or foreign films. You know, they said, subtitles, we'll read them, they go. I vividly recall being a little boy sitting in the back seat of the Plymouth, going to the drive-in on a weekend when my parents went to see a movie with Sidney Poitier. We saw A Raisin in the Sun.
My name is David Susskind, and my business is producing entertainment for television and motion picture theaters. I have recently completed a new motion picture, A Raisin in the Sun. It is based on the play acclaimed by every drama critic in every city in which it was performed. It received the highest honor a play can receive, the New York Drama Critics Circle Award. Here is entertainment which is rare and unique, vastly different from anything you have experienced. I promise this to each and every one of you. When you see this picture, you will live it. After you leave the theater, you will talk about it. And for a long time afterward, you will remember A Raisin in the Sun.
Say to his woman, I got me a dream. She says, eat your eggs, they're getting cold. Man say to his woman, help me now to take a hole in this world somehow. And she says, eat your eggs and go to work. I tell you, I gotta change my life because I'm choking to death. And all you say to me is, eat these eggs.
Now, there simply is no God. There's only man. And it's he who makes miracles.
Now you say after me, in my mother's house there is still God.
We saw the Defiant Ones.
Go on, tell me all that big talk about Johnny Potatoes when the chain's off and nobody chasing you. Come on. You can't, can you? You can't because you're nothing. You're not even a man. You're a monkey on a stick. That cracker mob back there, they pulled the string and you jumped.
I'm a strange colored man in a white South town. How long you think before they pick me up?
Get off my back. I ain't married to you. Now, what do I care? Come on.
You married to me, all right, Joker. And here's the ring, but I ain't going south on no honeymoon now. We going north.
Time's gonna come, Joe. The time's gonna come.
Go on! Burn their eyes out!
Can't go lynching me. I'm a white man.
I'll tell you the kind of white man you are.
And I'll be Charlie Potatoes. Charlie Potatoes coming down the street.
No more yuzzum.
It's been so long.
It's real now.
Don't go away.
I ain't going anywhere.
I can't make it.
we saw Pressure Point, which is a Sidney Poitier movie that a lot of people don't know about.
What I wanted most. Despite what you are and despite what you were, I wanted to help you. I wanted to kill you, and I would enjoy to kill you right now with my bare hands. But more than I wanted to kill you, I wanted to help you.
Emotional experience with a woman that wasn't entirely physical.
Did you ever want to kill your father?
When I was a kid, I used to lie awake at night praying he would die. And when he didn't, I'd think up ways to do it myself. Pick him up and put him on the counter. Chop him up. Chop him up.
Lilies of the Field, especially when I saw him in A Raisin in the Sun. And I was a little kid, but I remember thinking, wow, these are people who are like my parents. He's like my dad. My dad talks like that. I saw my parents. I saw our neighbors. I saw our community. I saw myself in Sidney Poitier performances on a giant screen. And that was so significant to me. And I could even chart moments in my life that connected to Sidney Poitier movies. Like later on, we went to the drive-in and saw In the Heat of the Night. And, you know, in Los Angeles, you know, we were blessed with Pacific weather all year round. And so some people had their windows rolled down in their cars. When Sidney delivered the slap heard around the world, you could just hear people go, wow, at the drive-in in their cars. It was amazing.
Why'd you two come here?
To ask you about Mr. Colbert.
Let me understand this. You two came here to question me?
Well, your attitudes, Mr. Endicott, your points of view are a matter of record. Some people, well, let us say the people who work for Mr. Colbert might reasonably regard you as the person least likely to mourn his passing. We were just trying to clarify some of the evidence. Was Mr. Colbert ever in this greenhouse, say, last night about midnight?
Gillespie?
Yeah.
You saw it.
I saw it.
But what are you going to do about it? remember that. There was a time when I could have had you shot.
Damn well clear out, and I mean fast.
What about that big speech you gave me this morning?
I didn't know you were going to slap any white man, least of all Endicott.
All right, give me another day. 2 days, I'm close. I can pull that fat cat down. I can bring him right off this hill.
Oh, boy. Man, you're just like the rest of us. Ain't you?
Bi-weekly visitation rights with Dad. And on a weekend when we didn't, Dad called me and said, promise me you will go to the movies and see A Patch of Blue. And that was unusual for my dad to go out of his way to give a recommendation like that, but he did.
Blue is destined to be talked about wherever motion pictures are discussed.
You're safe now. Don't cry.
A Patch of Blue introduces an exciting new star, Elizabeth Hartman, in the sensitive, glowing story of a blind girl's discovery of a world she has never before known.
Yeah. I brought you a present. Take it. Put them on.
It's glasses.
Not quite. They're sunglasses. There, just as I thought.
What?
Now you're a very pretty girl.
Oh, you pulled my leg.
No, I mean it.
This is also the story of a young man who helps her, a refreshing characterization by Sidney Poitier, with all the warmth and humor of his Academy Award performance in Lilies of the Field.
It's ringing!
In contrast, shock drama stems from the violent emotional impact of the girl's home life, provoked by Shelley Winters as the wanton mother. And Wallace Ford as the dissolute grandfather. A Patch of Blue is also a story of rare understanding.
You cannot go on living the way you are. It's a dark age story.
I don't know what else I can do.
Well, there must be some way.
A film with something to say, and it says it with humor, mounting excitement, gripping suspense, and unforgettable entertainment.
You know, of course, I remember seeing the Oscars the night that Sidney won, and you could almost hear our entire block, 124th and Central, cheering when it was announced that he had won the Oscar for Lilies of the Field. And, you know, like I said, there's so many pivotal moments in my, there are so many memorable moments in my life that seem to connect to a Sidney Poitier movie and performance. In later years, Sidney Poitier affected some of my career choices. Because when I was a kid, yes, did I want to be an actor like Sidney Poitier or Steve McQueen or, Paul Newman? Yes. But I didn't have that. I wasn't graced with that talent. So what I wanted to do was get on TV and talk about entertainment. Because I noticed that in Los Angeles, on local TV, there was no lack of TV hosts. All the hosts were white. All the people who did entertainment news were white, you know, because local news in LA, you know, Hollywood was like, you know, one of the main factories. So we did the news. I never saw anybody black doing entertainment news or doing celebrity interviews like Dick Cavett or Merv Griffin did. And that affected the work. You know, I wanted to go on TV and do that kind of work because I felt we deserved a seat at the table and to talk about like the work of Sidney Poitier and what he meant and review films that had actors of color, you know, because we were getting the reviews from predominantly white male critics. So Sidney Poitier was very significant to me.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned Patch of Blue, because for me, you know, I'm like I said, I'm a bit younger, but, you know, Sidney Poitier was definitely brought up and bandied about in my house. And my parents are big movie fans as well. Yeah. And of course, big Sidney Poitier fans. And I remember I knew who Sidney Poitier was, you know, but I didn't quite get what he meant. I had seen as a kid Let's Do It Again and Uptown Saturday Night Night. And
you saw the later work.
Yeah, I saw the later work and I knew him as, you know, him and Bill Cosby, this team.
Right.
And the stuff. And so I knew he had this history.
Right.
You know, because I was a kid, but I think any black kid in America knew who Sidney Poitier was.
Right.
And so this is the 70s. And some point later on in my life, when I was in high school, maybe high school a little later, this is going into the 80s now, and I watched Patch of Blue one night. It came on. I didn't know anything about it, and I never heard of it. It was black and white. It was on a little tiny TV. And it was the first movie that ever made me cry.
Oh, my gosh.
And I never forgot it. And of course, for me at the time, I'm a film lover, too.
Yeah.
It had a Jerry Goldsmith score.
I totally understand.
And the
late Elizabeth Hartman was so perfect at the blind girl. And Shelley Winters as her.
Oh, forget about it. And you know, the end of the film and all the people who were in it, Ivan Dixon played his brother, and just the whole idea. My greatest Sidney moment was in 2011. The Film Society of Lincoln Center had the Chaplin Award Gala for Sidney Poitier. It was at Alice Tully Hall. And another luminary brought me as his date, and that was Melvin Van Peebles.
Oh, my gosh.
But does it get any better than that?
No.
Melvin Van Peebles brought me to date.
And he was wonderful. Melvin was wonderful.
Oh, we were in the front row, okay? I got to watch Bill introduce him. I got to watch Lulu sing to Sir With Love. I got to see all of his co-stars come up and fed him in. And it was just amazing. And then it was the after, you know, event. So I got to be within feet of Sidney. But it was a pretty amazing moment just to see him live, to see all these, you know, these icons, these people you grew up watching.
Right.
You know, definitely a moment for me.
Great memory.
All right. Well, thank you, Bobby, for sharing your memories of Sidney Poitier.
Thanks for thinking of me.
And that's it for this episode of Real World. I'm here Fridays from 6:30 to 7 p.m. here on listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. And I don't think I have to tell you that listener-sponsored means that you who are listening now need to support us. And you know what's going on. There's a Tower Fund. You can go to WBAI.org, or you can go to give2WBAI.org, or you can call 212-209-2950 and make a pledge right now in the name of Real World. Make a pledge. We need your support, or help us with our Tower Fund. We want to thank those who did contribute so far, because it put us a little bit ahead, but now we want to get ahead for the year so we can stop asking you for this and just go on with all the programming, hopefully, that you love. Until next time, I'll see you at the movies. Sweet breeze in the summertime.
WBAI's local station board, the Pacifica Foundation Board, responsible for advising local management and operations, is holding its next meeting on Wednesday, January 12th at 7 p.m. The meeting will be the occasion of a delegate assembly to elect WBAI representatives to the Pacifica National Board. Again, the LSB meeting is Wednesday, January 12th at 7 p.m. The meeting will be held through the Zoom remote meeting service. The meeting, accessible to the public, includes an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and easiest way to join the meeting is by using the link on the Pacifica calendar and on the WBAI website. You can also access the meeting by calling 929-205-6099. That's 929-205-6099. And enter this meeting ID, 922-457-2995. That's 922.457.2995. And as if that wasn't enough numbers, we also have a password. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency, 99.5. So it's 995.995.99. Do you have to contribute to WBAI to access the meeting? No, but we sure hope that you do.
Greetings, this is Dr. James McIntosh, host of Mindfield, which comes to you every Wednesday at 2 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM. Together with my co-host, nurse, family therapist, Richardina Theodore, we delve into the explosive issues in mental health. Our mission is to help you know yourself, release your anxieties and your depression, and free your mind. Only on WBAI, the voice of the voiceless, can we voiceless ones be heard. Support the show and WBAI by donating at give2.org.